Invite you to open your Bible with me this evening to the Old Testament book of Malachi, chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Malachi chapter 4. Let's focus on verse 4, and then we'll come back and read the whole section. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb, for all Israel. Now let's back up to verse 1 and read it in its context. Malachi chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb, for all Israel. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask now as we look at a verse that might not seem important to us in this age, that we would see its significance, its importance, especially for Israel. And so, Lord, as we see these things, grant to us the insights and wisdom, much like the Apostle Paul had concerning these things of the law of Moses in the Old Testament. And so that we ask and we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, verse 4 makes the statement, remember the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses. You might tend to think tonight, well, do we need to remember the law of Moses? After all, for we who are church age believers, the law of Moses has been fulfilled in Christ. And Paul tells us we're not under law. We're under grace. But that doesn't mean that it's not significant for Israel. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't have significance for us tonight, which we need to see. So, remember the law of Moses, and we want to look really from the context here in Malachi chapter 4 tonight at five reasons Israel must remember the law of Moses. And there are some important reasons. Now, the first reason is right there in the statement in verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. Statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, for all Israel. Remember. Now, the word remember to you might strike you as just a memory issue. But this word remember isn't just a memory issue. To remember is to do. It's not just, oh yeah, I remember that. It's, I remember it in a way that I will live it. I will do it. That verse 4 includes the words statutes and ordinances. Actually proves that point. Israel was to do these statutes and these ordinances. We see this in numbers of places throughout the Mosaic Law, but just a couple very quickly here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23. So watch yourselves that you do not forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you. Watch yourselves. That what is said here in the law is something that you would do. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Now that tells you, how do you forget the Lord? You forget the Lord by not keeping his commandments and ordinances and statutes. Not keeping those is to forget him. So remembering him is what? Keeping those. It is doing. So that's our first reason why it's important for Israel to remember the law of Moses. because to remember is to do. Now, the second reason, the law of Moses is a covenant of well-being for Israel to dwell in the land, to dwell in the promised land. That is the first purpose of the law. It's not the only purpose. We'll see another one in a moment. But the first purpose of the law is that Israel will have and experience covenant blessing from God in the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Abrahamic covenant. So we could say it this way. A purpose of the Mosaic law is so that people will enjoy the Abrahamic covenant. Okay? Now, that might sound a little complex at the moment, but let's kind of back into it. Now, here in Malachi chapter 4, remember in verses 2 and 3, which we looked at last time, we saw the coming kingdom blessings for Israel in the kingdom day of the Lord. Verse 3 calls it the day which I am preparing. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, the healing of Israel and Judah. There will be joy, there will be provision and blessing in the promised land in the coming kingdom. The Mosaic law never had anything to do with anybody getting to heaven. Do you know that? It never did. It had everything to do with Israel inheriting and enjoying the land that was promised to Abraham. And that's still true. That's still true. Now, just keep your place here in Malachi chapter 4. And we again tonight have some kind of large chunks of scripture to read. And this is concerning the law of Moses. Exodus chapter 19. This is the preparation for God's covenant with Moses, that is the law. Exodus chapter 19. In the third month, after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, that makes this the Hebrew month Sivan, which would equate to May or June on your calendar. And the third month is the time for Pentecost. And Pentecost is when the law was given. Okay, that's very fascinating. In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. And there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." That is what the Lord said to Moses about what the Lord is going to give him, namely the law. Exodus chapter 23. Now, I encourage you to read the rest of Exodus 19 and 20 and 21 and 22, but we'll pick up in 23. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. "Behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. But if you will truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries, for my angel will go before you and bring you in to the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets ahead of you that you may drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness to the river Euphrates. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not live in your land, because they will make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Then he said to Moses, chapter 24, verse 1, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning, built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant, the law, and he read it in the hearing of all the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So, the law of Moses is the Mosaic covenant designed for people who will be entering the promised land. Leviticus chapter 26. Begin reading at verse 1. You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season, so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Notice the Mosaic covenant, the law, is a conditional covenant. It is not unconditional like God's covenant with Abraham was. It still is. It's conditional. You see in Leviticus 26:3, if, you see in 26:4, then. And it does not say, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments as to carry them out, then you will be saved and you'll go to heaven when you die. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, I'll give you rain in season. The land will produce. The trees of the field will bear fruit. Leviticus 26:5. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. Means this is going to be going on all the time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. Why did they have to keep the law? To live securely in the promised land. Verse 6, I shall also grant peace in the land so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. Now, just hold on to a thought there. Were there enemies with swords who passed through Israel's land after they entered into the land? And the answer is yes, there were. Well, what does that mean? That means they were not keeping the law. Because if they were keeping the law, the Lord would have not allowed any sword to pass through their land. But they didn't keep the law. Leviticus 26:7. But you will chase your enemies and they will fall before you by the sword. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you. My soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Notice this isn't just faith. The Lord says to Israel, if you'll keep the law when you enter into the land, the Lord says, I will walk among you. Now, they missed out on something, didn't they? I will walk among you. You shall be my people. Verse 13, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you would not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption, and fever that shall waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies shall eat it up. I will set my face against you so that you shall be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when no one is pursuing you. If also after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze. Your strength shall be spent uselessly. For your land shall not yield its produce, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you 7 times according to your sins. I will let loose among you the beasts of the field, which shall bereave you of your children and destroy your cattle and reduce your number so that your roads lie deserted. And if by these things you are not turned to me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with hostility against you. And I, even I, will strike you 7 times for your sins. I will also bring upon you a sword which will execute vengeance for the covenant. And when you gather together into your cities, I will send pestilence among you, so that you shall be delivered into enemy hands. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread in rationed amounts, so that you will eat and not be satisfied. Yet in spite of this, you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with wrathful hostility against you. And I, even I, will punish you 7 times for your sins. Further, you shall eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. You shall eat. And by the way, that did happen. in Israel right before the Babylonian captivity. It did happen. Cannibalism. Verse 30, I then will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and heap your remains on the remains of your idols, for my soul shall abhor you. I will lay waste your cities as well, and make your sanctuaries desolate, and I will not smell your soothing aromas. I will make the land desolate so that your enemies who settle in it shall be appalled over it. You, however, I will scatter among the nations and will draw out a sword after you as your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of desolation while you are in your enemy's land. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. So this is a prediction of the Babylonian captivity. Why did they go into Babylonian captivity? Because they were lawbreakers. They broke the law. Therefore, the Lord scattered them. Leviticus 26:36, as for those of you who may be left, I will also bring weakness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a driven leaf will chase them, and even when no one is pursuing, they will flee as though from the sword, and they will fall. They will therefore stumble over each other, as if running from the sword, although no one is pursuing, and you will have no strength to stand up before your enemies, but you will perish among the nations, and your enemy's land will consume you. So those of you who may be left will rot away because of their iniquity in the lands of your enemies, and also because of the iniquities of their forefathers, they will rot away with them. If they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their forefathers in their unfaithfulness which they committed against me, and also in their acting with hostility against me, I also was acting with hostility against them to bring them into the land of their enemies. If their uncircumcised heart becomes humbled so that they then may make amends for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember also my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham as well, and I will remember the land, for the land shall be abandoned by them, and shall make up for its Sabbaths while it is made desolate without them. They, meanwhile, shall be making amends for their iniquity because they rejected my ordinances and their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I so abhor them as to destroy them, breaking my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and ordinances and laws which the Lord established between himself and the sons of Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 1, Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Skip down to verse 13. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might perform them in the land where you are going over to possess it. So watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb from the midst of the fire, so that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. And beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them. Those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt to be a people for his own possession as today. Now the Lord was angry with me on your account and swore that I would not cross the Jordan, and I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving to you as an inheritance. For I shall die in this land. I shall not cross the Jordan, but you shall cross and take possession of this good land. More is repeated. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 1. Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, Keep all the commandments which I command you today, so it shall be on the day when you shall cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and coat them with lime and write on them all the words of this law when you cross over, in order that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Then more is repeated in Deuteronomy 27, verses 11 through 26. We see the statement of curses if they violate the law. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, the promise of blessings if they keep the law. Okay. Israel was blessed if they kept the law. Okay. That's very different from you in the church age. Israel was blessed in the land if they kept the law. Chapter 28, verse 15, all the way to verse 68, is the promise of curses if they violate the law. Chapter 29 is the making of the land covenant. Deuteronomy 29:1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them at Horeb. The covenant at Horeb is the Mosaic Law. This covenant made with them at Moab was a covenant for entering in, crossing in to the promised land. And you'll see throughout that, if they keep that, they will abide in the land and be blessed. And if not, they will be scattered from the land. Now, we'll come back to a portion of that in a moment. But I hope you get the idea. I mean, this is big. This is a big idea of the law of Moses. The law of Moses was designed so that Israel would have covenant blessings in the promised land. Okay. So, since Malachi, going back to Malachi 4 for a moment, since Malachi is talking in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, about believing Jews who will enter the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, in blessing, they need to remember the law, because the law is what provides for them the promise of blessing in the land. And the millennial kingdom land is the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the same land. So that's what the law is for. Should they remember it? Yes. They must remember it. Now, a third reason that Israel must remember the law of Moses. The law of Moses was designed to lead Israel to faith in the Messiah. It wasn't designed to be kept. It wasn't, the law of Moses never forgave anybody of any sins. But it did show them that they were lawbreakers. It showed them their sinfulness. The law of Moses was a covenant of well-being to dwell in the land. And the law of Moses was designed to lead them to faith in their Messiah. Remember, Jesus is the only fulfillment of the law. You know, there's only one who ever kept the law. Jesus. No one else ever kept it. Only Jesus. In the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. As many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. If you're going to be saved or be righteous by the law, you have to keep 100% of it and never break any of it. And by the way, that doesn't mean just keep the Ten Commandments. It's keep the whole law. Remember James chapter 2, verse 10. James said, if I just violate the law in one point, I'm guilty of all of it. Galatians 3:11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. No one is, no one ever was, ever, no one was ever saved by the law. No one was ever justified by the law. Never. That's evident. Verse 11, Galatians 3:11, for the righteous man shall live by what? The law? No, faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. So, if you're going to be saved or justified or forgiven by the law, you have to keep it all. Do it. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it was only a man's covenant. Yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say "and to seeds," but referring to many, but rather to one and to your seed, that is Christ. What I am saying is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? Galatians 3:19. It was added because of transgressions. Having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to who the promise had been made. Now a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been made which had been able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. Is the law able to give you life? No. Is the law able to give you salvation? No. Could any law? No. None of them can. If any of them could, then it would be that way. But it can't. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture has shut up everyone under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. That's what the law does. Teaches you about blessings in the promised land, and it teaches you about your sin so that you would be driven to faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Now, all of this, say, well, that's all Paul reading back into it. No, it isn't. This is all in the law. Go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Here's what Moses says. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us? And make us hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who will cross the sea for us, to get it for us, and make us hear it, that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. Okay, now what is that? Do you know? The Apostle Paul, in the New Testament, wrote a commentary on Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. The Apostle Paul explained what Moses was talking about in these verses. Now, where is that commentary? It is in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now hang in there with me. This is vital, and there's a big payoff for it. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them," that is, for Israel, "is for their salvation." Now he's praying for their salvation. Romans 10:2, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness." Paul says, Israel does not know about God's righteousness. That is, God providing righteousness. And Romans 10:3, "seeking to establish their own." They're trying to establish their own righteousness. Well, how? By works, by law keeping. Trying to establish their own. "They did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ, Messiah, is the end of the law." Christ is the end, the purpose, the goal of the law. "For righteousness to everyone who believes." Now, what does Paul use to teach this? Romans 10:5. "For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows." And then what does Paul quote? He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14 that we just read. "The righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say, 'Who will ascend into heaven?'" That is, to bring Messiah down. "Or who will descend into the abyss?" That is, to bring Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? The Word, now this is the Word of righteousness. It's the Word of justification. It's the Word of forgiveness. It's the gospel. The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Now, the idea of it being in your mouth is not about you speaking. The idea of it being in your mouth is that you are taking it in through your mouth like you're eating something. The Word is near you. The Word of the gospel, the Word of forgiveness, of justification, is as close as your own mouth, and all you have to do is swallow it. It's near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is, it's at the core of your being. It's in your spirit. That is, he says, what word? That is the Word of faith which we are preaching. So, Romans 10:9. What is the Word of faith which we are preaching? That if you confess, now a word like agree would be better there than confess. If you agree with what is in your mouth, if you agree with your mouth, that is the word that is there in your mouth, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes, or we could say with the mind, or with the spirit, with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he agrees, resulting in salvation. Okay, Romans 10:9-10 does not say that you have to make some verbal confession with your voice from your mouth in order to be saved. It does not say that. It does say that you have to agree with the word of faith that is in your mouth. That is to say, by faith, it's just like any food you eat. You swallow it by faith. You do. You believe that if you swallow that, it's going to help you in some way, benefit you, do something good for you. You have the Word, the gospel. It's as close to you as your... Say, what do I have to do? Swallow. Believe. And when you do, you are saved. Now, Paul just explained that, but do you know who said that? Moses did in the law. Moses himself, Paul would say, taught that the law does not justify. Faith does. So, the law of Moses was designed to lead Israel to faith in Messiah, and that is their salvation. So, should Israel remember the law? Yes, because it takes them to Christ. Now, reason number four. Israel in general, but particularly her priests, and we've seen this throughout the book of Malachi. Israel in general, but particularly her priests, had been disregarding the law of Moses. And so therefore, Israel will experience the tribulation day of the Lord judgment, which we studied in chapter 4, verse 1. The day of the Lord tribulation judgment. For what? For unbelieving, law-breaking, law-violating Israel. Remember in chapter 2 of Malachi, we saw chapter 2, verse 4. Then you'll know that I have sent you this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence, so he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity, for the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way, you have caused many to stumble by the instruction, you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. The priests were violating the Torah, the law of Moses, and they were teaching the people to violate the law of Moses. Remember, we looked in Numbers 150 and Numbers 25. We looked at those, that the covenant with Levi is part of the covenant with Moses, because Moses was instructed to appoint Levi. And it's referred to as a covenant. But in Malachi's day, this was being disregarded. The covenant was being violated. They were disregarding and disobeying the law of Moses. Is it any wonder then that Malachi says, remember the law of Moses? So that's the fourth reason they should. Now there's one more reason that Israel must remember the law of Moses. And it comes from our context here in Malachi chapter 4. And that is this. Moses, in verse 4, is referred to alongside Elijah in verse 5. Now, I won't get into Elijah much tonight because that's next week's message and the final message of our series in Malachi. But Moses is referred to alongside Elijah. This is one of the things that causes many to understand that Moses is one of the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. Elijah being the other one. Now, we won't debate this very much tonight. I'll debate it a little bit more next time. But here we clearly see Moses and Elijah alongside of each other. Moses in verse 4, Elijah in verse 5. The two witnesses, according to Revelation chapter 11, verse 6, will have Moses-like abilities, like turning water into blood, bringing plagues. Moses-like abilities, as well as Elijah-like abilities. So at the very least, we could say the two witnesses of Revelation 11 are somehow Moses-like and Elijah-like. We can at least say that much. More about that next time. Moses and Elijah were both with Jesus at his transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. Moses and Elijah both. By the way, we read Moses didn't get, before he died, to enter into the promised land, did he? But do you know what? Little over 1400 years later, Moses is in the promised land with Jesus at the transfiguration. Moses and Elijah are there together. That gives us some clue, again, more about this next time, that the two witnesses may not only be Moses-like and Elijah-like, but they may well be Moses and Elijah. Now, there are some issues with all that, and we'll come back to that next time. Here in Malachi chapter 4, clearly in verse 4, Moses is the lawgiver. and Elijah is the prophet. And therefore, it would be appropriate among the two witnesses to have the law represented as well as the prophets represented, the lawgiver and the prophet. And this is very appropriate in the closing chapter of the Old Testament, indicating then these are things yet to come in the future. Should Israel remember the law of Moses? Do you know what? At some point, Moses is going to see not only all the blessings of the land in the millennial kingdom, but he is going to see the fulfillment of the law in Jesus, in him. So, this is a lot, but it's very important that you see how these things fit together. This is instructive for you in how to go about reading the Old Testament, especially the Torah, the law, and understanding that it points to things that are future blessings for Israel. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have your righteousness in the person of Jesus, who is for us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. He is our peace. He is everything for us. Lord, we pray tonight for our Jewish friends, that they would see the fulfillment of the promises of their Messiah in the person of Jesus. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.